Well, tonight we're going to do something I haven't done in a long time, and a lot of you haven't done this in a long time. We're going to go back to school. Now, I don't know about y'all, but my first years of school I didn't really care for. But I loved my 4 years of high school. They were wonderful times for me. I got involved in a lot of things. And the more I got involved in, the better it got. You know, when you think about school, don't you just love all that studying you had to do and all the special projects you had to do and all those tests that you had to take? Sometimes they could be a little bit overwhelming, couldn't they? Especially as you advanced and got higher into your grades, it seemed like everything just got harder and harder. And didn't you just really love it when they handed you out that report card and you had to bring it home and show it to your parents and they had to sign it so that you had to show it to them? Now, you know, we had a few folks in my class that would sign each other's report card as the parents, you know, so the parents never saw their report card. And some of them got away with that. Now, I'm not giving anybody any ideas here. But that actually did happen in my school. I have to admit, I didn't put a lot of stock into all this schoolwork and the importance of it until I got into high school. My first 8 years of school, I did as little as I could possibly do just to get by with. But when I walked into the high school and saw a lot of the kids actually taking this thing seriously, they would actually do their work. They would actually study for their test, and they tried to get good grades. I opened my eyes, and I saw, you know, this may be more important than I thought. So I began to study a little harder and try to do a little bit better, and, you know, it actually paid off. My grades got better. My interest in school activities got better, and I began to enjoy school. And in my junior and senior year, I was a straight-A student. And who would have ever thought Farron Hamner would ever pull off anything like that? Became a part of the Beta Club, became a part of the National Honor Society. I even got a college scholarship because of my grades. Who would have thought that any of that could possibly happen to somebody who could actually care less about school the way I did the first part of it? Now, I know kids today may laugh at me because I'm now a geek because I studied and worked hard. But believe me, if you don't study and work hard, you won't be laughing for long, because the day is going to come when you're going to wish that you had. I have a friend back in Alabama who was a math teacher. And he had a student that could literally care less about his grades and about school. So Tim called him up to his desk one day, and he asked him, he said, "Can you do this?" And the boy said, "Yeah, I can do this. This is really easy." And he just started doing it over and over and over. And Tim said, "Well, good. You know how to flip McDonald's hamburgers. And if you don't get busy and get your grades up, you're going to be doing that the rest of your life." I don't know what happened to that boy. I don't think Tim knows what happened to it. But, you know, I had to do poorly in school for several years before I finally figured it out. If you don't try, you're not going to make it. Because if you can't make it in high school, you're not even going to get into a college, because there are actually regulations before you can get into a college. So tonight, we're going to go back to school. Now, we're not going to worry about math or English or science or history, any of that stuff. The school we're going to go back to is the Christian school. We're going to go back to God's school. Now, God's school is a little bit different than high school or any other school, for that matter. In God's school, as in high school, we are expected to do the very best that we can. But in God's school, we're expected to do the very best that we can in order to pass. in God's school, the best that we can do would equal an A+. Now, you know, I had teachers to tell me in my class, if you do the best you can, I'm not going to fail you. I had teachers to say that to me and to the whole class. But you know, it's pretty obvious to tell when somebody's not doing their best, isn't it? And it's pretty obvious in the church to know when people are not doing their best. So here in where God's school is different, your best and my best are two different things. Now, when I was in school, you had to get a 90 in order to get an A. In some schools, you had to get a 95. In college, you had to get a 95 to get an A. That's really hard. But thankfully enough, God doesn't look for numbers. He just looks for love, for effort, for attitude, and for devotion. And if you will give him that, and you will give him the best that you can, you're going to get an A+. And it's going to take an A+ to pass in God's school. So what I want to do tonight, I'm going to talk about five subjects in God's school that we are expected to get A+s in. And if we don't get that A+, that means we haven't done the best we can. And God's going to know that. And he will deal with us accordingly. First of all, we have to abound, or we have to get an A+ in abounding. Now, when you abound in anything, what does that mean? It means you give it your best. Now, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." You know, it's interesting to note that before Peter gave us this list of things that we are to abound in, he said, "You do it with all diligence." In other words, you give it your best. You put all effort that you can in doing God's work. We must be willing to put our heart and our soul in our Christianity. So in order to get that A+, we have to abound in God's work. Secondly, we must abound in abstaining from certain things. There are things that we are to stay away from in our lives as a Christian. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, he says, "Test all things. Hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil." Now, Paul echoes these words in Romans 12 and verse 9. He said, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good." Now, you might ask the question, well, why abstain from evil? We see it all over the place here, even here in Albany. We see evil everywhere, and you know it looks like some of these people that do these things are having a good time, don't it? It's almost like they just enjoy being bad. One reason may be because it's easier to be bad than it is to be good. We know that, don't we? Why are we to abstain from evil, though? Well, the reason is simple. Because if you're not careful, love can easily lose its purity in your life. And the depth of love that is good can disappear from your life. Because you see, the lust of the flesh is strong. It's a strong thing, and it can easily pervert the nature of our love and the nature of our Christianity. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, he said, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks, that for this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." So unless we abstain from these evil things of life, unless we work to get that A+, we're not going to make it. That's what this passage is telling us. Therefore, in order to get that A+ in God's school, we have to abhor that which is evil. Number 3, we must get an A+ in being active. Now, of course, this is talking about being active in the Lord's work. Probably one of the best verses that bring this out is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Here the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, I think Paul is telling us two things here. In this passage of Scripture, he uses the word always. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you know what that word actually means? When you hear that word always, from a religious standpoint, it means that Christianity is not a part-time job. It is not something that you can do one day and leave it out the next. Christianity is something that we have to put into our lives every day. We have to work at it every day. As I said this morning, we have to practice it. And we can't lay it down for a while. You know, if you have a skill or a hobby and you lay it down for a while, if you do pick it back up, you're not going to be as good at it as you was. Because it takes constant effort to keep your skills fine-tuned. Let me tell you something else this verse means. It means that Christianity is not a job that you can retire from. I can't tell you how many people and how many times someone has come up to me and said, "Get someone else. I've already done my part." They have retired from Christianity. My friends, there is no such thing as retiring from Christianity from anyone in this room. And do you know why? You're taking your next breath, aren't you? If you're taking your next breath, you're not finished as a Christian. Your work is not done. And you must continue. And remember, God is expecting your very best effort. And if you don't give it to him, you're not going to make that A+. And remember, in God's school, if you don't make that A+, you fail. And then next, we must make an A+ in accepting. Accepting what? Accepting the authority of God's word. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. He said, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In other words, what he is saying is this: whatever you do in word or deed, you do everything by the authority of God's word. We must live according to the authority of God's word. And God has all authority. God's full authority showed up at the very beginning. Genesis 1 verse 3. God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. He had the authority to do that. And then he continued using his authority as he created this space that you and I live in. He has the authority, friend, whether you like it or not, to tell you what to do, to tell you what not to do. And he can do that. Jesus, the Son of God, has the absolute same authority as God. And Jesus declared his authority in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. As he began the Great Commission, in Matthew's version, it said, all authority has been given to me in heaven. In other words, I had it when I was in heaven. And on earth, I have it here. I have it now. And we need to accept that. Well, what about the authority of the Holy Spirit? We know that the Holy Spirit was with God the Father and God the Son in the very beginning. The Holy Spirit's authority is described by Jesus in John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. In other words, the teachings of the Holy Spirit gave to the apostles the authority to write the rules that you and I live by today. And when we hold that book in our hands, we are holding the authority of the Holy Spirit because he is the one who gave us that word. Is the word of God authoritative? Well, you tell me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have to accept that, folks, because God has the authority to demand it. And he has the authority to take away that A plus if we don't do it. So in other words, for us to get to heaven, we are going to have an A plus in accepting the authority of God's word. And then finally, we must make an A plus in advancing. Advance. Well, in what are we to advance? Jesus gave us this answer to the apostles while he was leaving the earth to go back to his heavenly Father. We have three accounts of this command. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All authority, as I've read earlier, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, or the world, as King James says. And I like that better. All authority, he said. So you do it. You go out there and you teach God's word. You baptize. You teach them how to be Christ-like in your life. Mark's version comes from Mark 16, 15, 16. This one we all know well. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. There's where we've got to make that A plus. Because if we don't make that A plus, what are we? Condemned. Luke's version, Luke 24, beginning with verse 46. He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This was Jesus speaking to us, demanding that we advance in his word. And Paul echoes these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. He said, preach that word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. In other words, again, you do it. And you do it to the best of your ability. Remember what I said at the beginning. God expects the very best that we can do. And we must give him our very best in order to get that A+. So let me ask you, do you have an A+ in your Christianity? Are you giving God the very best that you have? Remember, God doesn't expect you to make 100. He's not looking for that magic number that we all looked for on our grades. But he does expect you to do the best that you can. And if you will give him your best, in God's eyes, you will have made that A+. It may be that there are some here tonight who don't have an A+ because they haven't given God their very best. God has made it possible for you to make a change in your life. He has made it possible for you to try again and to work again in his kingdom and to get that A+. Maybe tonight that you're not a Christian. You need to give your life to him today. Through faith, the repentance of sin, confessing Jesus as God's Son, being baptized for the remission of your sins, then you can go to God's school. You can be in God's school and you can make that A+. And that's exactly what you have to do. Remember, in Christianity, 100's not the answer. The A+ is doing the best that you can. If you're not giving God your best, or you need to begin giving God your best, please respond to this invitation as we stand and sing this song.